Let's close our eyes. But we're still together. Being together gives us a kind of courage, I think. To go a little bit further than we do when we're on our own with our experience. It's very easy to stop at the first resistance, get distracted or get stuck in an impasse. But when we're together, in the spirit of welcoming experience, it's more like a team effort. So even though each one of us, we have our unique experience, we have our unique demons to wrestle with. We have our circumstance. We also know that everybody else does too, somehow. And there's something deep that we share. It's like we're sharing a ritual, the ritual of welcoming experience, of saying yes, moment by moment. Somehow it takes the edge off the sense of being a fragment or an individual. It shines a light on the meaning, the meaningfulness of our lives, that there would be no meaning if we were fragments, if we were isolated entities, but we're not. And so everything we endeavor to explore, to master, to integrate in our individual shapes, in our lives, it serves beyond our individual lives. So welcome your experience this moment, such as it is, and maybe in particular your resistance. The current geography of separation. Not so much the story, because that takes us in the past or the future, but welcome rather the felt sense of separation right this moment. And let it live. It's not pinned down as soon as you taste it. see how alive it is, in fact, this resistance, this feeling of being contracted or being a contraction, this fear. This holding in the shoulders and the jaw. This flutter in the belly called fear. Whatever it is, and there may be kind of multi-layered feelings showing up. Let them show up, and don't feel you have to stick with one. We're in the shrine. We're in the shrine. In the shrine, it's dark, by the way. So these layers of separation, don't have to worry about a big old light shining on them as soon as they surface, unmasking them. There's no rush. This shrine that we share, which is dark, and this darkness, therefore, that we share, it's not a scary darkness. Scary things may surface in this darkness, but the darkness we share is more like a womb. It welcomes all things. It creates all things. That's the shrine that we share. But that's a bit spiritual, so forget those words. Just innocently welcoming. Feel your breath. Feel your face, the mask that is being worn right this moment, your brow, your forehead, your eyes, your eyeballs. I name and we feel, that's all. I say the name, and we take the sensation in the palms of our hands and offer it to the darkness. Feel your shoulders. Belly. Feel wherever you are called to feel. And when you feel, make sure that you align yourself with the darkness of the shrine. When you feel, you become the darkness. And you allow the sensation, the name, to vibrate within you, to resonate. However it wants. Feel the weight of the arms. Feel the weight of the pelvis and the legs. Be the darkness that spreads out to welcome the sensations of the legs and the arms. And all the other sensations that feel the beckoning of the darkness, they come up. It's like we're unfolding the body in darkness. Can you surrender the weight a bit more? In order to do that, feel the sensation called earth. Feel that she rises out of the darkness. She's a kind of condensation of the darkness, the earth. She's not dead, inert. And you can give the body weight to her. Then she will give the body weight in turn to the darkness. Give the hips and thighs and pelvis, sit bones, sacrum, knees, calves, shins, ankles, heels, soles, toes, feet to the earth. And then abide as the darkness, the openness. That's another word for the same thing. Feel your spine. First of all, feel the posture of the separate one. Feel your torso and how it's molded around separation. It's just what it does. It's human. It's not easy to be human. Feel the trace of our endeavors as humans. Feel it in your posture right now. Maybe your torso is a little bit collapsed, defeated, your shoulders a little bit rounded, a little bit sunken. You can exaggerate a little bit just to pay your respects to this body that bears the trace of separation, of suffering. You just exaggerated a tiny bit so that you can let it echo within you. Say thank you, body. And then you let it empty itself, the posture, because the posture says, feels welcomed, feels, oh, not doing this for nothing. And without moving the physical body, the posture that is here for you now, see if you can feel the tactile, transparent posture without moving to begin with. Just visualize it, this free torso, a spine that's free of the memory of suffering. Just feel it as a flame without moving that rises from the pubic bone. Very, very strong, very organic. Top of the head towards the ceiling. You might feel the vertebrae of energy floating one on top of the other. And then let the physical body marry this new blueprint if it wants. Very, very gentle. It's like you're putting on the clothes that are offered to you in the shrine. In the shrine, we can take our garb of suffering off. We lay it down respectfully and we can step into this new garb. See what it feels like. Top of the head towards the ceiling, pushing the ceiling. But don't be in a rush, huh? If the geography of separation and of suffering wants a bit more time, you give it time, you can alternate between both experiences so that they can learn to speak to one another. Feel your back, the back of the body. Feel your the place between the scapula. Feel the place in the middle of the back. And then feel your lower back. No reason, just feel. What's the vibration? What's the color? What's the sound? What's the texture? Is it defended? Is it thick? Is it protecting a feeling of me? In that case, there must be a feeling of vulnerability, a little bit inside the body that is being protected. Feel that. Where is that? In the throat, in the heart, in the belly? Let it vibrate in the darkness. It has a song. Everything has a song. The back body has a song. The soft animal of our bodies has a song. Feel the space behind the body. Just like I said, the earth was a condensation of the darkness, an ambassador. Feel the space around the body is also kind of subtle, transparent field of darkness, welcoming sweet darkness, so that the back body can be carried. Out into the openness all around. Keep going back to feeling whatever says, no, I'm hanging on. I don't want, no. It's interesting. Go to the no. Is it in the jaw and the teeth? In the fingertips? Is it in the shoulders? In the hips? You go there and you listen. You listen, you don't have any agenda. And then maybe you go to the breath, because the breath also is an ambassador between the invisible, openness, the source, and the visible, the tactile. Listening to the breath now. Yeah, the mind, it wants to, what are we doing here? What is this? And what are we doing? Don't worry, you say to the mind. We're doing something you cannot place. And then back to the breath. Breath in the belly, breath and the belly. Don't do it. Feel where your clothes, your skin, the abdomen, the breath, the in-breath, the expansion. Is it free? Is it allowed? Is it not allowed? Who lives in the belly? Then you move up a bit to the heart area, the rib cage, and just listen. There's such a habit of controlling, of micromanaging, of naming, labeling, sorting, filing, remembering, projecting, blah, 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 blah. Can we just listen? I do it too, all the time. It's scary to just listen when we're on our own, but not when we're together. Just listen to the heart area, to the sides of the rib cage, the back of the rib cage. What's living in there? You don't have to name it or shape it, just know it directly. And now a little bit higher up into the throat. With the breath, without doing. Feel the throat, feel the jaw, feel behind the throat, deep inside the throat. Yes. Now let movement come, because movement will help. Very, very slow to begin with. Before the physical movement begins, listen for the movement. And maybe let the movement originate from one of those places in the body of holding, of separation, of suffering. Slowly letting the movement shape the feeling that it comes from. There's no right or wrong here. Don't feel you have to do it, in fact. Just let the words trigger a response, a feeling, an emotion, a movement into the next moment. Let your arms and hands be taken by the currents of movement. So that the hands can help shape the raw feeling, the fingers, keep reclaiming a right to not know. You have a right to not know. Just reclaim it and see what the body does. Let the head be taken. The eyes, the forehead, the headquarters of the knower, let it be taken by movement. Almost like as if the darkness now is dancing the body. Relieving the body of its usual job of having to be the headquarters for the separate one. Now let the body be danced by the field of darkness. And it goes into the body, takes what it wants, this field of darkness, combs it out. Make sure you let your pelvis and your legs, your feet, the earth. You might want to stand, you might want to take your socks off, let your hair down, let this dance take everything. And to begin with, sometimes you might want to shake things out into the darkness, encouraging a letting go, encouraging the wildering of the body. Let the sounds come. Remember, we're in the shrine, we're together, each one with our unique dance that is emerging, yet sharing this ritual. Each dance is coming out of the same invisible source. You can trust it. And it doesn't have to be pretty. Let it go, let it go. Wild dance. Let the feet take over. Let the thighs take over. Feel there's limitless dark space all around the body. It can reach out, spread out. To begin with, it's a kind of shaking out, and at some point, perhaps something Something takes shape, an intuition through the tactile body, a tactile intuition, and you follow. Don't worry about non-duality now. It's fine if it's personal. As personal as it wants. Enjoy the mind's difficulty. The mind doesn't like this. The mind likes things to be in control and know what we're doing, and so it's not going to like this. Let it be, this mind, this thinkingness. But just keep coming back to the senses, to the tactile, temperature, breath, raw emotion. What's an emotion? What's your emotion right now? Where is it? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it spreading? Is it dark? Is it scary? Is it volcanic? Is it liquid? Is it crazy? Trust your hands. Trust your face. The knowledge there. Your lips, your hair, trust your belly, your pelvis, your sex, your feet, trust your soles, trust your palms, trust the earth, trust the movement. Trust your index. Trust, 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 trust. Trust the shape that shapes itself. Trust the not knowing. Keep giving a shape to the knower, the thinker, the holder. We're a movement. And then gently, gently, let movement come back to the darkness, the still darkness, as if you're pouring movement back to stillness. Maybe finding a place for the hands to rest in a gesture, a mudra. See how the hands want to come to rest. Trust them, and then there may be a few gestures, just, and again, not pretty necessarily. Maybe very subtle, barely visible. And then gently, stillness. Feel the openness that surrounds whatever is being experienced right now. The field of openness. And whatever is present as sensations, densities, thinkingness, just make sure that you touch the field that surrounds whatever that experience is. And even more than that, that you somehow feel yourself to be that field. Feel yourself to be that openness. Yourself to be that which perceives the tension or the density, the remaining feelings, as well as the sound of this voice. As well as the thoughts that float by, whatever they may be. And if your attention is taken again by the magnetic pull of experience, of a me, the body feeling like a planet that draws, that has a gravitational pull, just let yourself be pulled to it. Explore it for what it is. See how alive it is. Explore its contours. Ascertain in your own experience that even though it feels very intimate and very me-like, very personal, ascertain for yourself that it's not the case. It's living in you. It's a wave in you, the ocean. And that gives you more freedom to really taste it. You're free of it. And yet, you're intimately connected with it since it's your baby. It's made out of you. It's arising in you. Yeah, and then you orbit it again. Once you've spent a bit of time with that feeling, you get into your spaceship and take off into the vastness, into the borderlessness that you are. Go for it. Be open to that feeling, possibility that I am borderless. I am that in which all borders take shape. But I myself am free of borders. And again, feel yourself pulled back towards a border, a felt sense of me, maybe a different one. You can land there. Spend a bit of time. Ascertaining, shining a light, looking for that me that supposedly lives there behind the eyes and the shoulders, wherever it is, in the jaw, in the tummy, wherever you've landed. Taking time because these feelings, they're so intimate. They need time. They have a story to tell. But if we can really take our stand as that which perceives, then they're freer. They can really tell the full story. And in this case, it's a tactile story. It's not a thought story. It's the story of separation. But in this case, it's the tactile story of separation. If we were outside the shrine in a therapy context, there would be more to it. It would be the psychological story of separation. But when we're in the shrine, we're just in the now, and so it's just the raw feeling and the openness that I am. Feel your head between your temples. That's a big planet me, thinkingness. A lot of sensation there. The sensation of thinking. Associated with me, the person. Stay there for a bit. Let it tell its story. Its tactile story. Sing its tactile song. Without any agenda, it's not about getting rid, it's just a song of separation. It's beautiful. It's not just of separation, it's the song of creation. It could not be creation without limits and feeling of separation. And then you can get into the spaceship again, so to speak, whenever you want. Lose yourself in yourself, out there. Even if the pull is tugging, if the magnetic fields are calling, you can somehow orbit them at times. Not caring for a while about your creation. Caring about anything, not caring about Ellen's voice or what she's saying, or anything that is perceived. And every time the pull succeeds, you just land on whatever it is that pulled you and springboard yourself right back out into outer space. You use experience as a springboard. And you take turns. I feel like that. I feel like we give attention to presence itself. We give ourselves to ourselves fully as this presence. And then at other times we give ourselves fully to experience. Don't do anything in particular. Just let it be. And very gently, when you're ready, let your eyes open. Make the transition. But we're not stepping out of the shrine. Just adding another layer. Have a drink, have a stretch. Thank you for coming with me. Sometimes I have this fantasy that each one in turn would guide us. I know it's not everybody's calling, but I know we would all guide us in beautiful ways. Anyway, so my friends, if anything would like to be said, if voices would like to be heard, if words would like to be shaped, this is the time. Questions or whatever. Just be mindful that time is limited. And wave, and then we're actually, yeah, wave so that I can call you and then you can unmute yourself. I mean, don't feel there's no obligation to speak, but don't be shy either to express or to ask. It doesn't have to be spiritual, just whatever. Peter is waving. Peter, where's Peter? Wave again, Peter. Oh, you've unmuted yourself?
Yeah.
Great. Where are you?
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I just found myself at a nearby park for the first time, and I don't know how this is going to come across, but I just want to share the beauty of this with everybody. It's snowing here in Connecticut.
Lovely. You're in
Yeah.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been enjoying this while spending time with you all and just wanted to share it.
Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome, Alan. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, Peter. Thank you. I think it's snowing in quite a lot of the quite a lot of places in the world. We have snow here too in England. Sean, you can unmute yourself.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, I just was thinking this the darkness that you talk about is felt when liberating for me, in that I a very different and I think I've felt this before, the darkness of the shrine. I really like that because I feel like I can really relax into it. And then it's very different from the normal way of being in which I feel like I have to present myself to the light, to some, metaphoric light. So I just maybe I don't need to live this way or think about living this way, but that's what I where my mind goes is like, well, how is this something I could can I bring that into my life? And I've in the immediate thought or resistance to that is like, well, I wouldn't have control or I wouldn't be able to get anything done. I wouldn't do the right thing. I wouldn't present my right face. I would,
Right.
so that's just curious your thoughts on this.
I love your question, Sean. I think we all share that questioning of how can I let go a bit more? How can I let life kind of live me. And I like that, presenting that face to the light, and that idea of we have a persona, and behind the persona, it's a very different story. And when we feel safe, anyway, you said it better than me, but my thoughts are that I think in my experience, it's best not to worry about it, and to, whenever the opportunity to explore like this presents itself, then, you know, we go for it. And then I think you'll find that in your life, edges will soften. The light will be less glaring. Your persona might it will slowly melt away a little bit. There'll be more trust simply because you'll have explored like this. That's my sense, is in a way, don't worry about living your life in this fashion, because that would be another agenda and another effort when you're in the shrine, so to speak. It's like we let go of the effort, something of the holding and containing and masterminding of the separate self relaxes, and it feels delicious, and or if not delicious, appealing and inviting. And then we feel, okay, how can I maintain this? And then we're back in the same efforting. We create a thing, you know. So don't worry. Just go gently with it. And if in the course of your day, something reminds you of that, or you have an opportunity, it will always be about feeling what's here on a tactile level. I don't know how to say this. It will always be going to the place of fear, and the place where you'd rather not go, and you want to say stay safe. It will always be about maybe going to the place where it's not so safe, but where you're true. But I know you know that, Sean.
It's about going to where you're not feeling safe.
Well, it's in any given moment in a relationship or in a work situation or with a client, it's that intuition of, okay, this is where I need to be. This is the position. This is the but there's a resistance. There's a no, I can't do that. That's edgy. That's unknown. And so that would be the invitation, you know, to go towards what is resisted in subtle ways. But you have to listen. You have to understand what I'm saying. I'm not being clear. So, but if little by little you'll understand what I say, despite my lack of clarity, I think. I can't say it any better at the moment.
You're saying, like, don't like just say, oh, let's don't necessarily say, well, let's, I need to be, have the darkness of the shrine image, just more like feel where's the resistance and the fears, and
yes,
sort of feel into that.
Yes. And maybe evoke the darkness of the shrine. At any given moment, when you feel that possibility, evoke it and ask yourself, what wants to be in this moment, rather than what do I need to do to preserve my image, my persona, my safety. You know, my safety, that's a big one for all of us. We want to stay safe. I, the separate self, needs to stay set, to defend myself, to protect myself. So, but to evoke that quality, and then ask yourself, what is the truth of the moment for the body, for the thoughts, for the relationship? Gently, don't be on a mission, because don't be on a mission.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome, Sean. Thank you for your, and I'm sorry for the lack of clarity.
Oh no, I understand. I think. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm deep. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, nice to see you.
Yeah, you too. Hey, everybody. That was really quite something. I think for those that are in England that have been locked down, the chance to let yourself go a bit wild is limited. So it was really quite something to be intuitive in that moment and just let the body do what it wants to do. So thank you for that. But yeah, my question was, you know, when you were talking about applying areas of attention in different areas of the body, there was a moment when you talked about the throat. And when I applied some attention to the throat, there was this real visceral feeling that it was almost like something was released from it, you know? It was a sensation that just came from it. And yeah, it's just really interesting. I've never had that before. And I just wondered, I know different systems apply different parts of the body to certain emotions. I just wondered what you know, what, if there's anything to that or it was just nothing.
Well, I'm sure there's, when you say there's anything to that, there's definitely something to do to different areas of the body. I mean, the throat clearly is connected to the mouth and to the digestion, to the voice, to so much in terms of our human lives. So it is a place where we, many of us will feel layers and depending on our circumstance, our personal history, our childhood. But when we're in the shrine, we don't explore the story part, but we are with the raw tactility, and that's what was happening. Something was allowed, this kind of whatever it was. And you might pay attention to dreams, you might journal about it, Andeep, you might spend a bit of time to cooperate with this liberation, but it's not necessary. If you don't feel called to, you don't. Mm-hmm. But you know, this body it speaks for itself. The throat, the belly, the heart area, the hands, the shoulders, the back, all these kind of this architecture of the body will reveal different aspects of separation, of demanding, of asserting, of and with the throat, you know, the voice, you know, you might want to, anyway. I don't.
Oh, it's really interesting because, just applying attention to different areas of the body changes the experience, you know, the felt sense of experience. If it's by the belly, you know, it's quite abyssal, you know, if it's the heart.
It's a whole world. You can enter into the throat and you're swimming in this hole. Yeah. And then you go to another, and it's so alive, this body. So, but I guess in meditation like this, we don't want to fall enraptured with experience, but at the same time, we really want to liberate the body and learn its language. And at the end, that's why I was trying to show us that we have to both engage with experience, its creation, its life itself, and it teaches us about being human, and also at certain moments completely detach from experience in a way, like the sky, not interested in the clouds for a bit, just to really take a bath in your pure being, and then re-engaging with experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the body is a very important, you know, I mean, I obviously, it's such a realm of intelligence, of sensitivity, of emotion, of It's much more direct, or to find our way back to the qualities of our true being via the body is a more direct way, because even if there's a big contraction, anger, fear, and you go there with your, you know, directly with a tactile sense, and you allow it, it will take itself back to the field, the kind of vibrational field. It knows how to do that. But the mind interferes, and you know, and that's normal too. That's a whole other paradigm. But
so don't resist it. Just
well, if you resist it, see that too. What is that? You know, just yes.
Sorry, I said don't resist it, and just let it play out.
Yes, but I said if you do resist, don't make that a don't make a mission out of not resisting. You are already pure non-resistance. That's your true nature. So if resistance arises, don't forget that that's not you. It's another layer. Because resistance will arise, Amdeep, for sure. When you approach something like that, there'll be layers and there will be resistance. Yeah. So no, let resistance be, but know that that's not who you are. That's not what you are. Uh-huh. That gives more space to the resistance to really show itself, unfold, morph into the next layer and into the next layer. And then at some point, as you become adept at welcoming the layers and dancing with them in a way, letting them dance in you, instead of going back to a contraction every time, it starts to learn to go back to openness. But then a big old thing happens and you're right back in, you know, it's like, it's the dance.
We don't I know. It's fascinating. But yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Amdeep.
Thanks a lot. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Key, unmute my.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, this relates, I think, to what both Sean and was it Andy was saying. The strongest thing for me was, in a way, a really delicate thing where he was saying about not caring, don't care. And that spoke to me so loudly, because what jumped out at me was something that I'm more and more aware of, just the amount of fear and anxiety in my body.
Yeah.
And how I care too much about so many things. And to the extent, even the agenda here, there's a caring. It's ironic because, in a way, through practice, I've been learning about caring, caring for my experience.
Well, there's caring and caring, isn't there?
Exactly. That's what really jumped out so loudly that moment.
In a way, the not caring is a form of caring.
Exactly. That's what I found really powerful. And I suddenly, there was a real relaxation.
Mm.
Oh, wow, I don't need to care.
Mm-hmm.
Even caring had become an agenda and a sort of an anxious, aggressive thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a violence sometimes, these pseudo nice agendas we have with experience to relax and to this and to that. They're violence. They're violence because they're agendas.
Yeah.
But we do have them. It's a bit like what I was saying to Amdeep about resistance. Let's not make a mission out of not having agendas. Let's not make a mission of anything. It's simple, actually.
Well, that was what I took from it, and that's what felt nice.
Okay, Keith, I'm glad. I'm happy. Thank you for sharing. Florence, did you wave? Yes. Hi there.
Hey, hello.
Hi. Is this your first time or your second, right?
Second.
Yeah. And how do you pronounce your name?
Well, the Florence is more like my artist name. My name is Lawrence.
Lawrence, okay. Nice.
Lawrence of Arabia. first of all, thank you. Also last Friday, I really appreciate, I'm also following Rupert Spira for quite a while now, and I really appreciate how you complement the more body side. And I noticed that it's pretty easy for me to dissociate back into pure awareness instead of going through the feelings, although I've been working with that through yoga and all, but so that's one thing. And then stay with tonight. When you were mentioning those names, you didn't mention my name, and then I felt like this attraction in my heart. In allowing that, at a certain point, you said something about just letting the body do its movement, letting it do what it wants. And I started doing these Sufi grinds, like this circling, and all of a sudden I felt why I was so touched by you not mentioning my name, and how past weeks, even months, I actually didn't mention my own name as a metaphor, like I retreated too much rather than fully engage. And in doing so, I felt so much freedom, and my back tension was completely dissolved in that. So it was such a beautiful journey. For I saw you have this impulse of mentioning all these names. And that was,
I guess, it was meant to be for me not to mention your name.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And then that
journey, I wouldn't have known how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Lawrence. You never know what the journey is going to be. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just see what time it is. We have still time. Suzanne, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, thank you. My question, I think, ties in a little bit with Sean's, and it's different. I am in touch with some very, what is, feels old and heavy, and I very much appreciated you saying, like, just feel how the body feels, that hopelessness. And it feels old, like maybe older than me.
I just saw you do that.
Yeah. And so it's big, it's more than a daily emotion, or and I think I'm a little bit almost like stonified, I'm not sure, because I'm not quite sure. Listening to your instructions, I'm like, okay, let's just hang out there, but after a while it feels so bottomless that I'm like, okay, let's go feel awareness. And that's not 100% accessible, but it is doable. And I guess I'm a little bit scared in this dance because the emotion feels so deep and so overwhelming and old.
Well, I find in my experience, Suzanne, that it's so intelligent. So even I know this, it can be scary because in a way, some of these feelings are unconscious. You could say, when I say unconscious, I mean under the radar. And it's true that some of us have traumas and memories that we all do. But some of us are more called to maybe feel that and have some kind of work to do with that. And maybe you're somebody like that. And but in my experience, there's an intelligence in how the feelings that are living under the radar come up. They don't just burst up and annihilate the ego. Mm-hmm. The ego in this case being something very necessary, which is our capacity to contain and to integrate and to so you're touching both the fear of opening, and you're also touching the great breadth of feeling that is under there. And what you call the bottomless, you call it a bottomless pit. And actually, I don't think it is a bottomless. It's not like that. It's like, it's more that we all have a healing trajectory. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, it's not a bottomless pit. Yes, I think suffering, in a way, human suffering is huge. And we could, each one of us could not get to the bottom of it. But I think we each have a healing trajectory where we don't have to do the work of our whole family, and but we have something to do. But don't, so you know, so you, I think you're touching all of that, and it's a bit scary, and I understand.
I just am a little bit confused, because then the mind comes in, right? And the mind can, so that's now enough. You shouldn't get lost in that. It's time to return to awareness. And I guess I'm uncertain, is that a good voice that says, look, you know? Or well, is it just the mind avoiding?
It could be both, because it makes sense to say that, but sometimes reason hijacks fear, you know. Mm-hmm. Fear hijacks reason and uses mm-hmm. that kind of, so you have to just experiment. Mm-hmm. And also in your work, you know, individual therapy work, which I know mm-hmm. you do, and you just have to experiment, because you're right, there's a balance to be found between but it finds itself, the balance. So just keep exploring, Suzanne. Mm-hmm. I do think it's important to go to the places we don't go, want to go.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I think it's important. I mean, that doesn't sound very non-dual. I don't think some non-dual teachers would necessarily agree, but in my experience, I do feel that.
Yeah, I'm not an expert in non-duality, but it seems to me, this is why I was opening up to it. It's just like, if it's here, right, it wants to be welcomed.
Yes.
But sort of what I know about therapy, it's more sort of that voice that says, but no, don't stay there for too long. Then you get re-traumatized. So I agree with you. It's that dance.
But in therapy, you'd be engaging with the content and the story. But here we're not. We're just with a raw feeling. So you can say that to the voice. Don't worry, I'm not getting lost. I'm just welcoming. But I'm the shrine and I'm the darkness. And Ellen's saying that I'm borderless. So, you know, you can tell the voice, shut up, you know.
Okay.
And there's a place for therapy as well. I think there's a place for whatever it is that in your life partakes and participates to your life, to your life, mm-hmm. being full and rich and expressing of what you understand.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your question. There's time for maybe one more before. Cuckoo. Diane, hi there. You can unmute yourself. Oh, you disappeared. There you go.
Hi.
Hello. Is it your first time, Diane?
My first time sharing. I've been in two other sessions with you or meditations. And before you started saying it's okay to not know why you're here or whatever. Just prior to you saying that, I was like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm here again. So, and that's, I mean, it's not necessary for me to know. I'm not really all about that. When you opened the space and invited, and opened the invitation to the shrine and to I'm just going to say how it came to me was to be in the non-fragmented arena of experience and to touching with the darkness and that the darkness is the womb. It resonated really strongly with me. So much we're in the spiritual community, there's so much talk about the light and it's okay. And I really appreciate the dark and having that be that place from where things come. And I had my video off because I do some movement and stuff, and I have a little bit of self-consciousness about my body movements, and maybe as time goes, I'll not have that. But and then like part of my mind went to, you know, I wonder if am I supposed to be moving now? Is this the time for stillness? Am I doing it right? And then, like, I would open my eyes occasionally and nothing really, like, I only had the speaker view on, so I only saw you. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm just doing it right. And then...
well, you do whatever you feel to do. I mean, today was a little bit different than often we do postures and movements that are directed, and then right. Free movement. But anyway, it sounds like you were just completely with the meditation, your own.
Yes, and it was very good when I just closed my eyes again and. Like it was very there was a synchronicity in the shrine of the whole group of whatever flow was happening with every being here and everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so then when we came out and you said, I wish everybody could have a chance to be the leader, or, and I was like, well, that's how it is already. Like,
that's true.
That's how it is with the dance. You know, it's just, you don't know who's true. The lead and who's, it's just a synchronicity that we share, and very, very beautiful. Very strongly felt in this movement today that we had, and
thank you, Diane. That's very, very, very true. What you say.
Thank you, and thank you for allowing the space for me to welcome my my body fully here.
Well, it's absolutely welcome. And maybe next time you'll take your camera on. But, you know, like, we all have our eyes shut, so camera on or off.
I know.
But anyway, thank you so much, Diane, for your sharing. Yeah. Okay, Coco, you have something for us? A treasure? You have to unmute yourself. Ask to unmute. No? Can you do it yourself? There you go.
Hi. I got dumb. Wow. I never have to choose anything because you always plant exactly the thing. It's so funny this morning. The song Hello Darkness, My Old Friend was like in my head in the morning. This is a good thing. It's a quote by a politician who just passed on recently, George Shultz. And he said this line that I thought was so beautiful, and he was referring to politics, or to any room where, you know, politics is happening or negotiations are happening. He said, "Trust is the currency of the realm." And oh, I thought that's just, it was exactly right for this. And of course, David White's poem, Sweet Darkness, came springing to mind, which is always with me, really. But this other little poem from Wendell Berry, To Know the Dark. To go in the dark with a light is to know the light. To know the dark, go without sight, and find that the dark too blooms and sings. Wait, I'll just, to go in the dark with a light is to know the light. To know the dark, go without sight, and find that the dark too blooms and sings. And is traveled by dark feet and dark wings.
Hmm. That is so perfect, Coco. I love that.
And Ellen, this little poem that came to, like I wrote like 25 years ago or so, came to mind, and I thought of it in a completely different way. That before, when I first wrote it, it was from me to another person. But no, now I see it is from God to me, really. It goes, land a light. Be with me when you're with me. Don't go flitting to faraway places, dreaming of things left undone. Sit still in your heart and listen. Anyway.
That's so lovely, Cuckoo. Both of those are just, and they kind of, they're just lovely together, like two wings. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Corinne. Shall we unmute everyone? Let's see. Thank you, Corinne. Really, I feel like we go too fast. I just want, yes, one more thing.
Well, I was going to say Sweet Darkness, but I'll just include it because I don't need to say it. Probably everyone knows.
Well, we have 2 minutes. You can say it. Say it.
Well, I just more want to tell you about this book. It's perfect for what you were saying. Courting the Wild Twin by Martin Shaw. And it says, concerning the mysterious wild twin located deep inside all of us, Shaw summons us to the ragged edge of the dark wood to seek out this estranged, exiled self, the part we generally shun or ignore to conform to societal realms, blah, blah. But anyway, it's beautiful and poetic, and I haven't really read, I just checked it from the library, but it occurred to me. And I'll include it. And he's such a beautiful storyteller, and he has a gorgeous voice. So I'll give you a little clip of him, like reading a little part from it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you, Cuckoo. I love your energy. So bursting. Okay, unmute everyone. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you, Ellen.
Bye. Lovely to see everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Ellen.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Pamela, I saw you. Are you gone? There you are, Pamela. Nice to see you. Hey, Yal and Ben, Francesca. Susan, I missed you, Susan. I didn't say your name. Nice to see you. Leslie.
Hi, Ellen.
Is it snowing over there? Yes, it is.
I have lots of snow, but the sun is shining, and that's very rare.
Oh, that's nice.
I and the cats are all sitting here joining you and basking in the sunlight.
Lovely.
And you're in your little hiding.
My wagon.
You're in your wagon. You're
2 more days, and I'm going back to the husband.
You've had quite a visit.
Yes.
Your windy wagon.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you again. Lots of love.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
No, I think I'm going to meet you on. קבעת איתו השבוע?
כן.
בזום או בלייב?
ביי ביי.